You are listening to the Stetson Students Podcast, where we post all of the series and messages from our student ministry. We are a ministry connected to Stetson Baptist Church, where we are for DeLand and for Jesus. If you would like to learn anything more about our ministries, please check out our social medias or go to StetsonBaptistChurch.org. Hey, I want to start with a question. I want to know, what is your favorite movie genre? Your favorite movie genre? Right here. Comedy? Action or science fiction? I saw you were about to raise your hand. Comedy? Drama? Little romance? A little romance? What is that? Like, you're like, if it says romance in the title, you're like, Oh, not intense? Okay. 2000s rom-coms, very, very specific. Very, very specific. That's not a genre. Okay, it is. All right. Oh, I just started something there. Totally fine. Yeah, video game movies. Yeah, y'all too, both. Random movies that are set in the 1800s. Okay. There's a lot there. What were you? Rom-com? Anime? All right. Cheesy B-movies? Or low-budget movies? Yeah. Anybody ever seen the B-movie? Anybody seen the B-movie? Like the actual B-movie? Come on. Great movie. So, man... What you'll learn about me, I'm a big story guy, and so I love movies because they tell a story. I'm a movie guy over TV shows because I like that I can watch the fullness of a story in 2 hours and not over a week. Let me tell you, you can ask my wife, if you show me a good TV show and it has 8 seasons, I will have it done within 3 days, and it's very not okay for me and my family, okay? So, I have to watch it. I have to complete it, man. I cannot. I'm a perfectionist in that way. I love movies. And actually, I had a buddy who used to work here on staff, and I would always come to him and I would recommend movies. I would be like, he didn't really care that much. But I would go like, dude, I saw a movie last night and dude, you've got to watch it. It is such a good movie. And there was a weird stint. It was really weird, where I got into a lot of World War II movies and I didn't realize it. Like movies that revolved around World War II. And they usually were very sad, obviously, because World War II. But I would always bring them up. I'm like, dude, I watched this movie last night. It was so good. And he's like, did it happen during World War II? And I was like, maybe, but that's not why I watched it. And so, when I was thinking about that, I was like, man, World War II. And I thought about a story that I think really resonates with what Paul is about to introduce us to. And it is during World War II. The German army used to have what were called gray wolves, and they called them the gray wolves. And what it was these German U-boats. And what really, at the end of the day, if you're like, man, what is a German U-boat? It was a literal stealthy submarine. So it was very stealthy, didn't go on the radars. It was just kind of, they didn't know about it. And they would attack at night. That was a big thing. So they wouldn't attack during the day. They would attack at night. When you're sleeping, I mean, come on, what are we doing here? And what would happen is these American boats would not be aware that they were in battle. Like, they wouldn't be aware that there was somebody trying to attack them because they didn't know that they were there. And in the middle of the night, they'd be woken up to, you know, just their ship literally sinking because they are made aware, oh, I'm in a battle. But they didn't know because they were being attacked by an enemy that they could not see. They were beginning a battle and they were being woken up to a battle that they had not known there was an enemy ever present. And so Paul is actually going to tell us a little bit like this in a certain way, that we and you specifically are in a battle against an enemy that you cannot see. And really, sometimes we don't wake up to the fact that we're in a battle until it's too late. Until something's happened, we realize, man, I was attacked by an enemy and I didn't know it. And so Paul introduces us to this as we finish Ephesians 6 or get to a point of finishing next week. And so we're going to be picking up in verse 10, and I'm going to read through 13, summarize a little bit, and then we'll keep going. Paul says this, Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand amongst the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. So Paul looks at us and he goes, you are being attacked. You're in what he would, I'm just going to summarize it as a spiritual warfare. You may have heard that term before, like, man, this is spiritual warfare. It's this idea, man, that we are not alone, but there are good forces with us and bad. There's God that is working for our good, and there is a literal true enemy that wants us to be against God. And he is saying, you are in a spiritual warfare. Let me summarize it this way. This means that every decision that you make, every single one, is either for God or for yourself, and in that sense, for the enemy. So every decision I make, I'm either making with God in mind, saying, I want to do this to glorify him or in some way please him, or I'm making a decision saying, this is what I want, and then at the end, this is what the enemy wants. Because the enemy wants you to want things for yourself and not for God. All right, so that's what he's saying. And then he uses this term, take on the whole armor of God. Now, listen, I'm going to go back a little bit to a little bit of my childhood, because when I think of the armor of God, I think of this guy right here. This is Bible Man. Has anybody ever heard of Bible Man? This is Bible Man. Is this guy, like, come on, he is dripped out, right? So I got to show y'all, I got to show you a little clip. This was him putting on the armor of God. Can we play this next clip?
Now this is what I call dressing for success.
Turn it up a little bit.
Waist belt of truth. Breastplate of righteousness.
Right there. Boom, set it out. Come on.
Shoes of peace. Shield of faith.
Guys, this is True TV right here.
This is peace.
Boom, there he is.
Full armor sequence complete.
And there's
the sword of the spirit.
Bible Man. Ready to take on.
Cypher, do I look okay to you?
Yeah, you look like a superhero, which is what you are. Why?
No reason.
All right, that's
Eunice.
That is
I'll
Bible
take
Man.
The tunnel bike.
That is Bible Man. So in case you're like, you're ever bored, man, just go on a Bible Man binge. It is so fun. But truly, when I thought of the armor of God, that's what I kind of envisioned. Right? Like this literal armor that I need to put on, and I'm going into war. And so I need to have this type of armor on. What we're going to learn today is we're truly just going to walk through each armor of God that Paul mentions. You probably knew this. It's not a literal armor, but it is in a sense, a spiritual armor to help in our spiritual warfare. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so, man, I want us to see what is the armor that we need to have on to protect us and to fight the enemy in the spiritual battle that we are all facing. Let me tell you, there is nobody that can stand in this room and say, I'm not a part of a spiritual battle. You are. You may just not know it. And so we need to be prepared for how do I defend myself in this spiritual battle, and how do I push back the enemy for the kingdom of God? All right, so we're going to walk through that, starting in verse 14. This is what it says. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Man, let me just tell you this, because I'm going to be doing this, and I'm going to ask you not to. Don't envision that every time I say one of the pieces. Like, when I say that, don't envision the belt and the breastplate. Like, I know that was funny. I love Bible Man. He's awesome. So first, let's just talk through each one and see what it means. So he first says, put on the belt of truth. That one's probably the easiest to really think about. What is he saying? He's saying we need to be people of truth. We need to be truthful people. We need to be honest people. I thought about that in a few ways. First off, man, we need to be truthful with ourselves. Like, we need to be honest with ourselves and able to say, man, am I chasing after God? We need to be able to ask ourselves the hard questions that we want to avoid. Because sometimes, and probably a more majority of those times, the hard questions are what is actually going to stop hindering our growth, but give us the opportunity to grow in our faith. But then, you know, obviously, man, we need to be able to be truthful with others. When I thought about being truthful with others, I thought about three areas. One is peer pressure. I think there are so many of us, and I know this is probably true of you because I know it's true of me, that we believe in something, that we stand firm on something, but when we get around our friends or we get around a crowd that maybe doesn't believe that or doesn't necessarily follow those rules or think that that is a good thing to believe or think, we shrink back. We don't stand firm in the truth of what we believe, especially in our faith, but instead we kind of avoid it. Or maybe we give in entirely and we act like we believe what they believe. And we need to be truthful people, able to stand firm on what we believe. But also, man, let me tell you two statements that I think may be the most untruthful things that we could say. The first is, I'm fine. Hey, are you doing all right? Hey, I'm fine. Hey, how are you doing? I'm good. I'm fine. Man, for some reason, we believe that to hide things in and to not be vulnerable with the people that we trust or the people that we're close to is a strength. Let me tell you, it's a weakness. And we need to be able to be truthful, especially with those who really care about us. Let me tell you, the first people that you need to be the most truthful with, your parents. And we need to be truthful with our parents. When they ask us a question about, man, are you doing okay? It's not, I'm fine. Hey, how was your day? And be able to look at them and say, man, this happened and I didn't like it and it wasn't good. Or be able to say, man, this happened and it was really fun and I had a great time. We need to be vulnerable with those who we are close to. We need to be truthful with them. The other one is, I'm okay. I know that sounds very similar, but I think about it this way. Somebody hurt your feelings and they come to you and go, I'm sorry. And you go, I'm okay. Or it's okay. And in the end, you're like, it's not. I'm actually not okay. I actually haven't forgiven you. And we need to be able to stand in those moments and say, hey, you hurt me. And I know that I forgive you, but it's going to be a process to get there. At the end of the day, we need to be able to stand firm in saying, I'm going to tell the truth. I know what is true. And that's what I'm going to show others. And that's what I'm going to show myself as well. So putting on the belt of truth, if you will. And then next he turns and says, the breastplate of righteousness. Whenever you think of righteousness, you think of like being a righteous person that's doing the right things. And truly here, Paul is saying we need to practice right living. We need to practice doing the right things, doing the thing that God said is the right thing to do. Living the life that God has indeed called you to. And if you're wondering, like, Nate, what does it look like to live the life that God has called me to? He actually laid it out in Galatians 5. We call it the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is this. It is love. It is joy. It is peace. It is patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It says, against such thing, there is no law. This means, what does it mean to put on the breastplate of righteousness? It means to inhabit the characteristics that God wants us to, that God has for us, that God blesses us with. Let me tell you, when you follow God, you literally get His Spirit to come live inside of you, and His Spirit does those things. And so as we continue to grow in our faith, the more we inhabit and show these characteristics, the more we get to live a life that is full of loving others. The more we get to live a life that is impacted by a peace that surpasses all understanding, the more that we get to live a life where we are patient, not quick to jump to conclusions, where we are kind to one another, where we are good, where we have faithfulness, and we are very gentle, and especially where we are self-controlled, being able to see what the right thing to do is and do it. So we need to be truthful people, but we also need to be people that are practicing the right way of living, the way that God has called us to. We've talked a lot about that this semester, and Paul has mentioned it much in this letter. But then he continues in verse 15. It says, "And shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace." So he says, put on the shoes of the gospel of peace. So this is a cool moment where it actually is very impactful why he says shoes. Because shoes were this idea, this showing, and they conveyed readiness. Like you are ready to do something. If you had shoes on, and you kind of think about it this way, like when your mom comes to you and is like, "Hey, do you have your shoes on?" Meaning like, "Are you ready?" Or, "Hey, go get your shoes on because we're about to leave," kind of thing. I'm sure my mom did that all the time. I don't know if your parents did that. But shoes truly did. It was this idea of like, I'm ready to do this. So he says, put on the shoes, in a sense, put on the readiness of the gospel of peace. What does this mean? This means for you that we need to be ready and excited to share the gospel. Putting on the shoes of peace is to say, I'm ready to go share the gospel with other people. I'm always prepared in the spiritual warfare to add another person to our team. I'm always prepared in every moment and excited that the gospel is present in my life and I can give it to somebody else. It is the greatest prize that I have for somebody else. And so I'm living my life almost looking for opportunities. I'm so ready that I'm looking for opportunities to invest in somebody else and share the gospel with them. Maybe for the first time, maybe for the 100th time. And so what does that look like in your life? Maybe think about the people that you're hanging out with. Maybe think about the people that you see on a regular basis. Now do this. I just would love to, I'm not going to ask you to show me this because I just want this kind of be between you and the Lord. When was the last time that you shared the gospel with somebody? Think about it. When was the last time that you sat down with somebody or saw somebody and said, "Hey man, I got something I need to share with you. And I need to tell you about Jesus." When was the last time that happened? For some of you, you might be like, "Nate, honestly, I do it a lot." My encouragement to you, keep going. Keep doing it. That's awesome. For others in the room, you might go, "Man, I'm going to be honest, I'm a little embarrassed of my answer." For some of you, you might be like, "I don't know if I ever have." Man, to you, maybe today, what you need to hear is, "Man, I need to be ready to share the gospel." Not just ready, I need to be excited. I need to be seeking opportunities to share the gospel with my friends, with my classmates, my neighbors. And let me tell you, it is not that the land is full of Christians. Like, that is not the reason we're not sharing the gospel. It's not like everybody you see on an everyday basis, you're like, "Well, they're saved." No, it's us. And so we're probably timid or scared to. Let me tell you, you have the Spirit of God living in you. Man, be bold with that. Be bold and ready to tell others about Jesus. All right, what's next? So picking up in verse 16, it says, "In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one." I love like the flaming darts of the evil one. I don't know. That's just like, if you're ever like writing, I don't know, like a super fantasy book, maybe that should be your title. The flaming arrows of the evil one. So he says the shield of faith. I don't know about you, but when I think of a shield, I kind of think of this, like a little circular object, you know, kind of small, you know, probably like here to here, right? Is that anybody else? Yeah. That's kind of what you think about. So when he's talking to the people in Ephesus, they're probably thinking more of a shield like this. So this is a much, as you can see kind of from the picture, obviously maybe not, but it's a much larger shield. And here's actually how they would use these types of shields. They would duck down behind it so that it would cover the entirety of their body. And then they would put it up in the air, and the ones in the air were for the arrows. And so this idea of putting on the shield, hey, Ray, can we quiet down? What's it called? Phalanx? Okay, thank you. So, man, when we see Paul calling us to put on the shield of faith, Man, he is not talking about this puny little small shield. He is talking about a shield that is going to cover our entirety, the entirety of our body, in a sense, going to protect every part of us. And so it's almost, it's a beautiful and poetic moment for him to say that that is our faith, that our faith in Jesus should protect us from all the enemy has against us. It is the thing that we get to rely back on the most. Meaning, no matter what troubles I go into, no matter what temptations, no matter what trials, no matter what stress, no matter what anxieties, no matter what things I fall into that I wish I didn't, and we get to stand behind the shield of faith to protect us, saying, man, you can throw all of your flaming darts. You can throw anything at me. And it is not, it would hit me if it was me, but it is my faith in Jesus that protects me. It is my faith in Jesus that protects me. When I think about faith, man, some of you in this room might be like, Nate, what is a faith in Jesus? What does that mean? Why is that important? Why do you say that? I think John 3:16-17 really sum up to me what a faith in Jesus is. It's this, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son in the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Man, a faith in Jesus is believing this, that I was lost, that I tried things on my own and it didn't work. Didn't work in the slightest. But God saw me and he said, you're worth it. And he sent his son to live the life that I was meant to but couldn't, die the death that I deserved, and arose on the third day. And that my belief in following him gets me back into the life that I was always meant to, a life with him. Man, if you're sitting here going, man, I need that, take that. It is offered to you. For others in the room, you might be thinking like, hey, I've heard that before. John 3:16, it's everywhere. Listen to me, that might be part of the problem, is that we've become so naive to it. Man, this is the key. You want the biggest protection from what the enemy has for you? It's the gospel. I loved a term that somebody once introduced me. We should never graduate from the gospel. When you think about graduation, think about like from middle school to high school, meaning like leave it behind. I've outgrown it. That is not true of the gospel. What we need to do with the gospel is sink deeper into it and appreciate it more. We should always come back to the gospel. He finishes this section of the armor of God with two things, picking up in verse 17. He says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So first, he says, the helmet of salvation. Again, in this time, these helmets were made of, a very sturdy metal, in the sense they were very, almost impenetrable. Like their only purpose was to not be penetrable. That when you hit it with a sword or an axe or a mace, thank you, or an arrow, whatever, it wouldn't work. So what does this mean for us? Well, I think it's important that he says salvation because it goes on your head. When I thought about it, man, we really are made up of kind of two things. Like two things really do control us, our hearts and our minds. I hear Paul is saying, man, guard your ears and your mind from the enemy. Like you need to defend what you're hearing and what you're thinking from the enemy. I think sometimes we think about like, we always heard that term like actions mean more than words. And even more, we think like, well, words mean more than thoughts. You know, there's kind of that hierarchy of things. Here Paul is saying that, man, that's not true. Like what we think, what we hear, what we are bringing into ourselves is so important. The negative thoughts, the inappropriate thoughts, the inappropriate music, the inappropriate words that our friends are saying that we think is okay. Now here Paul is saying, man, in those moments, protect yourself with the salvation that has been gained for you. Meaning, in those moments where you are downcast or man, you're thinking about something and you're like, man, I hate that I'm thinking that way. Be reminded and be encouraged that you are eternally sealed in Jesus and fall back on him. run straight back to his arms because they are wide open, ready to receive you. And then lastly, he uses really the only mode of attacking, which is the sword of the Spirit. And he even says, what is the sword of the Spirit? He calls it God's word. God's word is the only offensive tool that Paul uses in this whole armor. Everything else has been to defend ourselves from the enemy. And he goes, here's what we use to attack. And what I love is really when Paul's using this, and I'm not going to get too much into it, it's a lot of the Greek language and it's fun. If you want to know it, come talk to me. It's we can geek out together. But in this moment, when Paul is writing about God's word, he's not talking about the read God's word. He's talking about the spoken God's word. In a sense, what he is saying is that this isn't just I read the Bible and I'm good. No, what he is saying is, it is those who are knowing what it's saying. It are those who are believing it, are not just reading it and saying, I've done my quiet time, I'm good. No, the way to fight the enemy is to know and believe what God's word says. It is to, in a word, not read, but study God's word. Because that allows you to do two things. A, it changes who you are. It changes who you are, which again, helps you defend against the enemy. But also, to know God's word and to believe God's word is going to lead you onto the battlefield to fight for God. To go and share what you know. Because if you know God's word and you believe what it says, man, we cannot keep it to ourselves. You won't keep it to yourself. And then he finishes the section with this, 18 through 20. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, and I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So Paul finishes and he goes, man, over all these things, pray about it. Man, pray that you would have it, pray that I would have it, and pray that we would grow the kingdom of God together. Okay, so as we close, can we put those all those back up? It should be the next slide for us. There you go. Listen, I know that was a lot, and really, you might be thinking like, Nate, that's cool, but I don't really know what to do with that. Great, I now know what every armor of God is, which I think is a good thing to know. But for you, you might be going like, what's next? And for you, I want to say I have three application questions, and then we're gonna get out of here. Three application questions that I want you to ask yourself, and then we're gonna leave. First is this: what armor has God blessed you with a passion for? Looking at those, you might go, man, as you described this armor that God has for me, I thought about how well I'm actually doing that, how well I'm actually being a part of that. And that's good. Be encouraged by that. Keep growing in that. Rely on that. That's so awesome. But what about the flip side? What armor am I missing or weak in my life? What armor did you mention, Nate, that honestly, when I look at it, I'm like, I've never done that. Or I've never had that. I've never even thought about that. But I know I should. Man, what armor is that for you? My last question for you. In this battle, am I fighting for God or am I losing myself to the enemy? I mentioned at the start, we are in a spiritual battle. There is no like, hey, Nate, I'm going through one, or hey, Nate, I'm not. We are going into and are part of a spiritual battle. So the question you need to know and be able to answer is, man, in this battle, what side am I on? Am I fighting for God in this battle? Fighting against the enemy? Seeking his glory, seeking his kingdom? Because I know it's better for me? Or I'm honest, am I just kind of doing this on my own? I'm living for myself. I'm doing things that I think are fun, that I think are pleasurable for me. And at the end of the day, I'm losing myself to the enemy. And I'm playing right into his hands. Man, if that's you in the room, I would love for you to come talk to me. I would love to walk you through what that looks like. For others in the room, I mean, if you're like, man, Nate, I am fighting on God's side. Man, let's keep doing that. For all of us, I'll tell you this, even for me, there's an armor up there that I'm going, I'm not too good at this. And during this time of worship, and I want us to leave hopeful, knowing that it is not us who has any power in that, but it is by the Spirit of God in us that we can grow. But man, maybe during this time of worship, you just need to pray and say, God, help me grow in this aspect that I know you want me to. Now I'm going to pray for us. We're going to sing. We're going to get out of here.
Thank you for listening. We hope you have a great week and that you are a light for Jesus. Grace and peace.